Computer. Okay, so I am here with Professor Mona Lopez of St. Mary's University, San Antonio. Today is October 28th, 2020, and it is currently 2:38 in the afternoon. And what I wanna do here today with Professor Lopez is I wanna get her thoughts and her story about being an educator during the era of COVID-19, both in the spring 2020 semester and in the fall 2020 semester. So my very first question is, what did you enjoy most about your courses prior to COVID-19?
The social interaction, right? I've been a teacher for 30 years, 30 plus years, and my style of teaching has always been to engage students through social interaction. That means interacting with the professor, interacting with each other, interacting with the content. So before COVID, a lot of my instruction was based on social interaction. You know, you've been with me enough to know that I always say the one doing the talking is the one doing the learning. And so I feel like the more the students are interacting, the more they're learning.
Right. Okay. So as we've established, you enjoyed most was the social interaction you got with your students and that they got with each other. But then on March 13th, 2020, the university sent out an email that that announced that the remainder of the course would be taught virtually from the beginning of, I think, March 23rd to the end of the semester at the beginning of May. So how did you feel when you learned that you would be teaching courses virtually for the rest of the semester?
Yeah, so back then, you know, when that happened, we really had to shift quickly into, I call it a survival mode. And it was almost like the focus was not so much mastering the objective anymore as it was making sure that our students were still with us, that they were safe, and that they were able to still access our courses. So our you know, it's like a layered approach, right? The first thing I did was send out a survey. I don't know if you remember, but I sent out a survey to all my students to say, where are you? What kind of technology are you going to be using? So is it only a phone, or is it a phone and a laptop? Is it a tablet? Do you have internet to be able to do this? What time zone are you in? In diverse pops, you remember we had a student that was in Japan. When she went home, she went all the way to Japan. So it was like, what time zone are you in? So the priority shifted from, you know, mastering the course objectives to, can you stick with us for the remainder of the semester? And how can I continue to connect with you for the remainder of this semester? That became the priority. Then finishing the course strong was the second priority. But it was the huge shift just was managing our students first. And if you remember, I've talked to you about, you've got to know your students by name and need. And so in this case, I had to find out how your needs changed based on the pandemic and based on the shift on the 13th of March. How did your needs change after that? You know, your set of needs were way different before the 13th and after the 13th. And so I had to make sure that I addressed those needs. We remember Maslow's hierarchy of needs says, if you don't address those basic needs, learning's not going to happen. And so our priorities shifted a bit from mastery of content to knowing how our students' needs could still be met for the remainder of the semester.
Okay. So we transitioned into virtual learning, and what parts of the teaching experience for you were most challenging to adapt?
Technology. Certainly it was, you know, how to use technology to be able to still hold class. Before the pandemic, my extent of using Canvas was just a receptor of information, right? It was just, that's where you turned in your assignments. That's where I recorded grades. That's where I posted files. But it wasn't really a venue for instruction. It was more like a collector of materials, right? It wasn't really where you could, you know, do online teaching by yourself. If you couldn't get it from me, could you still learn the course just by accessing the modules? And before COVID, you couldn't, because it was pretty much just a receptor of information. It wasn't an instructional venue. So my biggest challenge was, how can I use technology now? How am I going to shift Canvas and my use of Canvas to incorporate Zoom and to incorporate chat and to incorporate breakout rooms and all of that, so that it became an instructional tool and not just a receptor of information and a collector of files. So that was my biggest challenge, was adapting to use. And this is the thing, Chris, the technology has always been there. I just never used it. Right. So it kind of, I feel like, you know, when the little bird is at the end of the branch and it's just kind of hanging there and doesn't know if it wants to fly or just kind of stay in the safety of the nest. Well, I was in the safety of the nest, but that's where I was comfortable. I was comfortable teaching the way I had always been teaching. So after the 13th of March, really had to jump off that branch, and we were pushed. It was just like, we're pushed off, and it's just like, go with it. And the university provided a real quick, during that week of transition, remember after spring break, we had that extra week of transition. So during that week, the university provided some real quick sessions on how to use Canvas, how to use Kaltura, the basic different formats that we had available that we could use immediately. And for those of us that had not been using them, you know, we had a real quick 1 week session on how to use these platforms to help us finish out the semester.
And so we discussed just now what you thought was difficult, but was there anything that you thought was easier than you thought it would be, or anything that you actually kind of liked about virtual teaching?
No. The short answer, no. I think that after a while, you know, and I say that because the change was just such a hard change for me as a teacher, but after a while, the one thing that I did appreciate was that Zoom afforded me the opportunity to be more available to students, because, you know, we could hold our office hours on Zoom. It made me more accessible. It made it easier for students to access me and for me to meet with them on an individual basis. I felt like I was able to personalize some things for our students. If you remember in Diverse Pops, the final exam, I had given each of you a specific class with a specific makeup of students.
My American history class.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if you remember, I had like one-on-one meetings with you, and we'd walk through your class and I'd say, this is who you have. What is your plan? I didn't do that before. Before, I would give just a general assignment. And with the Zoom and the individual conferences and the availability of that, I was able to personalize those classes. And I think when I do that, it makes it more meaningful for you, right? Because you would have had no interest in doing this lesson if it was for a language arts eighth grade class. It wouldn't have been as interesting for you as it was when I gave you the opportunity to do this for an AP US history class. It's just more meaningful.
Right, because I remember being excited about, like, oh, I get to go think about my favorite moments about my lesson plan for my AP US history course, and think about, because you gave me a teak for the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. So I got to think about, well, how would I teach this, and how what kind of concepts do I want to touch on, you know, from individuals in the civil rights movements to important laws to other important vocabulary. And that was really, that made me really enthusiastic about the assignment in a way that, like you said, if it had been an ELA class that had been assigned to all of us or a large portion of us, that I probably wouldn't have been as enthusiastic.
Yeah. And we've talked this semester, we talked about the importance of motivation, and students are more motivated to get engaged with the content if you personalize it for them. And so the ability to have individual conferences via Zoom facilitated the ability for me to personalize. I mean, I had 27 students in that class. So it was like 27 different assignments, but it was easy because I was able to do individual meetings with each student. Mm-hmm. So it really worked. So that was one of the things I really enjoyed doing, was that it helped me tailor to the personal needs of the students. The assignments were able to be a little bit more customized and tailored because of the technology.
Then my next question is, well, The semester ended fairly successfully at the beginning of May, and we got into the summer months when universities were considering if and how and when they would reopen. And the meanwhile, in the meantime, the virus here in San Antonio is getting worse, especially peaking sometime in the middle of July. At one point, we had 1,200 cases a day, multiple days in a row. And on July 16th, the university sent out an email with a plan about how to reopen the school. Courses would begin on August 11th. They would be offered in three different formats, the online, the virtual, and the in-person virtual. How did you feel about the university's plans to reopen?
I felt more prepared, Chris, because over the summer, all of the faculty were engaged in the online training certification course. So we all went through, it's a six-week course where we became certified to teach online. So throughout this course, we were given access to other tools and we were given the opportunity to practice using other tools and actually format an entire course through this program that we were in. We actually had to format an entire online course and create an entire online course. So in doing those modules, it helped strengthen my skill set for if a student had to do this course only online, would they still be able to do that, right? And so it really helped. I don't know if you saw that with your other professors or not, but it helped also standardize how our Canvas looks. Most professors all have the courses have a homepage and each module has an overview, right? So for the students, I think it also helps standardize because before that, everybody's Canvas looked really different. You know, my Canvas looked really different from somebody else's Canvas. And so I think this helps standardize for students how to navigate courses through Canvas with a standard procedure. So I felt better equipped over the summer so that when the university gave us the three options, I felt like I was ready for all three. If I needed to teach something only online, asynchronous, I could do that. If I needed to teach it virtual, I could do that. If I needed to IPB, I could do that, right? It gave us opportunities to practice all three ways of delivering content. So I felt a lot more prepared at the beginning of this semester to do that. I felt like for the university to be able to do that for our students was probably the most inclusive way to accommodate the needs of all of our students, right? It helps students that are in the Valley or in another part of Texas or another part of the country to still be St. Mary's students because they could take their courses either asynchronous as an online or they could take it virtual. So they were still part of the community, even though they were not physically at the school. I like that because I think that's the way to include as many students as possible. And not X our students out. My preference is still that having the in-person, but I will tell you that IPV, and you're in my IPV, so you know how difficult that is for me because I want to look at you, but then I want to look at the screen. And so I'm just like, I'm going back and forth and I'm still working on that, right? Because I kind of feel like if I'm looking at you, I'm ignoring them. And if I'm looking at them, I'm ignoring you. And so I'm still working on how to do that better, the IPV. But I do feel like training opportunities this summer to be prepared for any of those online, virtual, or IPV. It gave us the tools and the skills to be a little bit more prepared because we needed to be ready to teach in any of those modems, you know, any of those modes, depending on what our students needed.
So my next question is, we just got done speaking about in-person virtual classes, and I'm in your in-person virtual class for educational psychology. And how does it feel for you as an educator to be in that room with most of your kids on virtual and only a couple of kids in the room?
Twilight, it feels like the Twilight Zone. It's just like, it feels so surreal because I will say that, you know, I'm just, I naturally reflect at the end of the lessons, right? When the lesson, when my classes is over and everybody's gone, I take a couple of minutes to reflect and say, okay, this was my intent for the class. And this is what we did. Did our tasks match my intention? Whatever I had the class, whatever we did together as a class, did it meet the expectation I had, right? Or the intentions I had for that class? And so I feel like, you know, when I'm reflecting after class with the IPV, I have a hard time saying that that's happening. I just don't think it's happening to the degree that I want it to, right? And I'm still comparing it to, well, if we were all in person, you know, this is how they would have left. They would have left with this understanding, right? And I think for me, the hardest part of both IPV and virtual is I'm still struggling with how to check for understanding. Like how to check that students are understanding the concept or understanding the task that I'm assigning, you know? And I just need to keep finding tools and doing a better job of framing the course. So that in fact, one of the articles that we're going to read for Monday talks about using formative assessments, and formative assessment is checking for understanding, right? So I read it and I loved it, and I wanted to share it with you guys because I'm still seeking for more ways to check for understanding. When you guys are in person, I can check for understanding naturally. There's just body language, verbal cues, physical cues, level of engagement. Those things let me know if you understand the concept or not. IPV and virtual, it's a black screen. I just see the name, or in your case, I see the ship. You know, I don't know. I don't know if you guys are understanding the concept or not. And so part of that's me needing to find more tools to be able to gauge your level of understanding. Because until I can do that, I have a hard time when I reflect at the end of class, did they get it or not? And I just can't tell. And for me, that's the hardest part because I use formative assessment to know what to do next. Do I need to go back and reteach? Do I need to go slower? Do I need to go faster? You know, what do I need to do? That's why I have found these small group meetings that we do have been helpful because they're a way for me to gauge on a smaller scale your understanding of what's expected in the course.
Mm-hmm. And my final question, and we've touched on this a little bit throughout the interview, but overall, how do you feel about virtual learning?
Wow, I feel like there's so much to learn still. I feel like it's certainly something that we should have been doing all along. Like I said, I was the little bird that was pushed off the branch and said, whether you're ready or not, you're going to do this. Right. And so I feel like there's a lot of potential in virtual learning. I feel like that as a professor in the education department, I need to do a good job of modeling virtual learning because you guys could be thrust into that same situation and I should be modeling the strategies and the techniques for formative assessment and checking for, so that when you are in the same situation, you feel comfortable using some of these platforms and programs. So I feel like it has a lot of potential and we're just tapping it right now. We're all in the role. We're all put in the student role right now. I feel like I'm in the student role all over again and just kind of learning strategies and techniques to do a better job at virtual instruction. I hope that answered the question.
Yes, ma'am. And that is actually our final question. So thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. I think just listening to you speak has definitely contributed a story and a very powerful voice to the archive that this interview will hopefully be contributed to.
Good.
So thank you so much for agreeing to do it. And I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thanks. And thanks for your patience with me, Chris. I appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye.